with diverse flora and fauna, magnificent natural landscapes, and an ecological biosphere that supports life. This wondrous planet is our earthly home. From our animal co-inhabitants to the lush rainforests and life-giving soil, we cherish all these as gifts from the Creator. It is a common theme in the world's major faiths that during our temporary stay here, we should be good stewards of Mother Earth. Throughout the years, Supreme Master Qinghai has shared the message of leading a balanced life while following a spiritual path. Not only must we nourish our spirits, but we share the responsibility to care for nature and our fellow beings. In light of recent scientific evidence stressing the grave state of our planet caused by climate change, Supreme Master Qinghai affirms the important message she has noted for over the past two decades. We must be vegetarian, meaning an animal-free diet, and practice sustainable living. Today we present to you Supreme Master Qinghai's discussion on climate change, titled Compassion Begets Compassion, via video conference with our association members from Sydney Centre, Australia, on August 17, 2008.
Hello, Master.
Hello.
Master, for many years, there have been droughts and floods in Queensland. And Queensland yes. is Australia's main producer and exporter of beef. Every year, Queensland exports $3.3 billion in beef products. Are these two things related? How could we help?
Yes, it's obvious, no?
Yes.
That is the warning sign, if anyone listen at all. You can go there and distribute the flyers or send them email, do whatever you can. Talk to the farmers, etc., etc. Tell them to change their way of life because of the planetary urgency. You can talk to them and you hope they will change. This is very obvious sign, this obvious retribution. But anybody listen? You try, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Master.
Thank you. That's just one example of the obvious retribution. It's not just Australia, Queensland. Anywhere else, maybe you check it out, you'll find similar pattern of retribution. Yes. Every action, you know, equally provoke another reaction. It doesn't fail.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Master. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Master. Master, I have two questions. The first one is, if we pass the critical mass and 2/3 of the world population become vegetarian, what happens to the animals, especially those meat-eating animals such as tiger, lion, fish, etc.? Will they become vegetarian as well in a natural way, or will they be destroyed?
They will be vegetarian. If not, they will be destroyed. Because if they do not follow the natural greatness of heaven, then they have to go elsewhere. Their souls will have to be reincarnated, either in some very suffering planet, or they have to be living in pain for a long, long, long time to cleanse off their bad karma, and then they will be given another chance, but after a long, 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 long time.
Okay. My second question is, what will happen if we pass the critical mass? Does it mean only 1/3 of the world population will survive? What happens to the world economic? If the world economic breakdown and most of the buildings get destroyed, what will the survivor rely on to live their life?
Well, you will see if you survive.
I think I will, because Master, I remember in the Seattle conference you said disciple will survive, so I think I will.
And you will have the means to live on. It depends on your merit, okay? If not, I told you already, rely on the divine power within yourself to continue to live. We do not depend on food alone to live. Don't worry too much.
Thank you, Master.
So you have so many fat extra, maybe you survive a little longer without food.
Thank you, Master.
You're welcome, love. Rely on your virtue and God will take care of you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. By the way, you could start planting your vegetable also if you worry so much. You know, if you have a little garden, you plant vegetable, at least enough for some time. And you keep some of the dry food somewhere. I don't know how long it lasts, because if we eat a lot, we cannot save that much anyway. We cannot save enough for the whole family to live for the lifetime. But you can save some if that makes you have a peace of mind, yeah? Get a corner of your house and save or whatever you think necessary for how long, for how many people, and plant vegetable in your garden. Instead of the grass, you plant vegetable and eat from them. And then continue this way. In any case, the food shortage is already here. So maybe you could start planting your vegetable, yeah, in your garden. It's very easy to plant. You just learn it from the gardener somewhere, you know, on internet, from your brother and sister who know how to plant with any minimum water and maximum harvest and no fertilizer and just pure organic even. So do your job, eh? In your spare time, instead of running around or thinking nonsense, you go out, dig your garden, plant vegetable. And if you don't have the garden, then plant together with the neighbors or who doesn't want to plant. You plant in their land. You can plant on the roadside near your house. Right now there are many countries, many citizens, they're planting vegetable on government plots. You know, like the roadside or some plot that nobody use. You can ask the government whether you can use it. Not possessing it, just planting it and taking care of it. Or pay a little tax or something for it and plant it. A lot of people do it now. And if you even don't have garden, you have a balcony, you know, you can plant vegetable in a pot. Yeah, small here, there, like that. It's also very fresh, and then you have some vegetable for yourself.
Thank you, Master. I love you, Master.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Hi, Master.
Hi.
My question is, each spiritual level from first to fifth is characterized by a certain thing. For example, the first level is known as emotional,
the second level as intellectual, etc. But what about the 6th to 9th levels? Do each of these have something to characterize them, or are they beyond description?
They have, but they are beyond description. Yes. And it doesn't concern you. Just try to get to the 5th first, and we talk, okay?
Thank you.
This is not for us here on this planet Earth to be able to imagine, I'm sorry to say, you know, because no worldly language is suitable for this description. I could explain to you if we have a sufficient mean to do it, but we don't have it here. Because in that kind of world, there's such a perfect peace and harmony beyond comprehension. You will be the peace. You will be the harmony. You will be the light. You will be the bliss, which we cannot comprehend right now because we are still searching for peace here and we have not even found it. So how can I even compare anything from here to there for you?
Thank you. My next question is how many higher beings, such as 6th and 7th level beings, are on Earth at the moment? And do the 9th level council members ever accompany you on your mission to Earth, or do they come separately?
They're not coming here, okay? The 6th and the 7th level beings, they're not here. Do the 9th level council come? Well, no. I came alone. If they come separately, because one is enough. Enough powerful, no need to have too many here. Just a small planet. Because it's the same teaching, doesn't matter how many come, it will be the same teaching. And one council speak in one corner, it will reverberate in the whole planet, in the atmosphere of the whole planet. So if the humans being listen, then they listen. If not, no matter how many people speaking, how many a council from the highest level coming down, it will be the same.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, Master.
Hello.
All the past saints like Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad taught about compassion for all beings as the first commandment. They also spoke about this infinite power and wisdom, for example, the kingdom of God or the Buddha nature that lies within oneself. My first question is, what kind of guidance would you give people to lead them on the right path towards compassion for all beings, including animals?
All they do is have to practice now, not asking any more guidance. We have so many lectures, we have so many videotapes, we have even Supreme Master TV broadcasting all the virtuous way of life now, daily, you know. And you keep your television on, so people can hear them, inwardly, inside. Yeah. Don't disturb the neighbor by putting it too loud, just leave it on, that's it. Even quiet volume will be fine when it's convenient for you, even all day or night if it's convenient for you. And that is the guidance.
Thank you, Master.
There's not much more guidance I can give. People have to practice, not just listen.
Yes, I've got a second question. How can people realize their inner wisdom, and must they practice spiritually in order to attain this wisdom through a living teacher?
Yes, they should. They should. If people are being virtuous, yeah, and believing in God alone, then that is also good for them, and they will also gain a very small fraction of wisdom that they already have within themselves. But it would be quicker and more complete if they follow a living teacher.
Thank you, Master.
You're welcome.
Hi, Master. How can I improve myself? I still find that I'm not good in my spiritual practice. I still lack a lot in regards to my personality, being sometimes arrogant or having bad habits. I sometimes don't feel motivated in doing things and blame myself. Can you please help me to guide me in a better direction, Master?
Well, you have to tell me what do you do, being arrogant, like what, and what kind of bad habits, for example. But as the guideline, just do whatever good, avoid whatever bad. That's very simple. But unless you want more detail, then you tell me the detail. Like what kind of habit that you want to get rid of, what kind of attitude that you classify as arrogant, and why do you feel that way?
Yes, Master, like sometimes I'm lazy to do something, and I don't motivate myself to do it, Master.
It depends on thing. If it's no good, then don't bother doing it. Or if something is not really necessary, of course you don't feel like doing it. But if something you feel that is necessary, of course you would do. I trust that you will do what you think is necessary and good. It's just not everything is always necessary and good. And also we have problem with our physical body, you know? Some day we are tired, and the day of the month when you feel, you know, a little bit run down, being a woman, also you have hormone ragging within your physical body and all that. And the people around you and the atmosphere around you and the energy of the planet, we are swimming against the current here. So do whatever you can, whenever you can. If you can push yourself to do something which you believe is good and beneficial, then it's fine and good. If not, try it again next time when you're less tired or less busy. I also have the same body like you. I have to push myself.
Yes, Master.
This morning, I don't feel like going out for conference. I was meditating well at that moment. I want to meditate so that I will give you a little bit more of the good energy.
Yeah?
Yeah,
Master.
But then when I meditate, I feel so good, I don't want to get out to go and dress up and make up and come here and talk to this telephone. I heard that the phone is not good when you talk and listen next to your ear like this. It might not be good for me, for my brain. I don't like it either. And all this light, you know, staring at my face. Many things that we have excuses not to want to do any job. Even if it's a good job as saving the planet and talking to beautiful people like you. Not to talk about something that we don't even like to do, an ugly job or demanding job, an ungrateful job. You know, of course you don't feel like doing it. So, don't blame yourself too much, okay? The thing is, we just disregard our mood and do what we have to do at that demanded moment. Live 1 minute to the next. Do whatever you can. If you feel that is a good thing to do, not just for yourself, but for anyone else, or for animals, then please try to do it, yeah? If your body is fit at that moment, no matter how you feel about it, you know, if it's good for others or for yourself, push yourself up and go do it. Just remember that. If it's good, I do it. If it's bad, I don't. Simple, good, do, bad, don't. No matter how our mood is, just don't care about the mood.
Master.
You're welcome. The mood is influenced by all kind of things. It's not our real self. Remember, I also don't like to do many things, but I do it. So we are in the same situation. We have same problem, okay? We solve it together, same way. Good thing, do it. Bad thing, avoid. All right, love?
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Master.
You think you can do it?
I'll try to, Master.
Okay. By the way, if it's good for you, I tell you, I don't think you are that arrogant, because if you are, you wouldn't be humbly confessing like this. You would be worrying about your reputation and how people would think of you when you tell people that you're arrogant and lazy and all that. It's not an easy thing to confess in the public. So I think whatever arrogance you have is repairable. Or maybe you don't have that much. You're just demanding too much of yourself. And even if you are arrogant and lazy, from today change it.
Yes.
We all have certain conception about what we should do, what we should be in life, and what we should get in life, and how we should be treated and all that. So we get disappointment, and then it affects our mood, and then the people we live with, you know, the loved ones that are not according to our liking, everything. We have all kind of things that justified our laziness, our disappointments, our unpleasant mood, etc., etc. But the thing is, if we sit here and complaining forever, we will never do anything, and we're not going anywhere. We will not improve ourselves to become the person that we want to be. The only way to swim is in the water. The water is cold and wet maybe and tiring to swim, but that's the only way we swim. So enjoy at least.
Thank you.
Just concentrating on the feeling of swimming, you know, it's also nice to float in the water and be able to swim. Somebody else is not able to swim. If he doesn't have hands, he doesn't have feet, and he doesn't know how to swim, or he's paralyzed, he cannot even swim. So even though we get into the water, it's kind of cold and wet and tiring to swim, but we can swim. So get yourself in the mood anytime. Tell yourself, it's nothing, I can overcome it, I can do it, it's a piece of cake.
Thank you for your advice. And Master, we love you so much.
I love you too, love. And I'm glad you guys trust me with all your private and personal and impersonal feeling. And I hope whatever I told you, that is for my sincerity, it might help you in some way to live the life the way you want to be, or minimize your frustration while you are on this physical planet.
We also like to say thank you for the teleconference, Master. Thank you for your precious time with us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes. If it helps you, I'm very pleased. See you next time. See you soon, and meanwhile, continue your noble work, your meditation practice, and your best intention to help the planet. We are together. I'm doing with you. See you soon.
See you, Master.
Bye,
bye, Master.
Bye. I love you, and heaven bless you. Bless your country, Australia. It's a good country.
Thank you, Master. We love you, Master.
We thank you for your presence for today's Between Master and Disciples. Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants is up next, right after Noteworthy News, here on Supreme Master Television. May the Providence guide us in wisdom and love.